Domingo Santana, ooh, I wanna have ya. Tanaka, Spicata, Jag, like Michael Walker, Polanco, and Franco.
Where'd you go to ISO? Get it to first place. Check Batty Valdeta and swing it strike rates. Raisins out of shriveled grapes. Here's Adam's happy place.
All right, welcome everybody. This is Fantasy Baseball Today here on Wednesday, December 6th. I am in Fort Lauderdale sitting across from two lovely gentlemen. Chris Towers, who is very blue, 50 shades of blue.
In terms of what he's wearing or his mood?
His
clothing. Bit of both, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
What's the matter, Chris?
Downer today.
Just, you know, seasonal affective disorder. It's winter in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, my, it's in the 70s. I was in New York yesterday, you psycho. And here's Scott White. What's up, Scott?
Adam, I'm kind of blue too because nothing is happening.
It's
a completely stagnant off season.
It's good. We got some
breaking
stuff.
Down Mike Minor's, you know, his what the Rangers paid him is kind of depressing in its own right, right?
But that's a news item, Scott. Look it on the bright side. We have something to talk about, and
more
we're gonna
like
go through.
Mike Major Bucks.
Mike Major. So we're going to go through rounds. We did like rounds 1 through 3 yesterday, or last week rather. We'll go through the rest today. We'll try give you the best and worst picks and just talk about some players. And we have holiday movie themes, movie names
based on
baseball players.
Good.
So,
okay.
Yeah, that should be fun. Again, we did a 12-team head-to-head points mock draft and talked about our teams on the last show. We won't focus on our teams, just focus on some of the draft picks and give you an idea of where guys are going. And there is a write-up on the website. Scott wrote it up. And, read all about it. So here's email of the day number one at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. It is from Zach. And he said, to use this soon-to-be-overused team name, Shohei the Money!
That's good. That's a good one.
Yeah, you guys like that?
He's first. Remember when people used to write first at the bottom of articles?
Yep.
Zach is first to this name.
Shohei the Money. And he is down to, and these are our news and notes, 7 teams. Angels, Mariners, Dodgers, Giants, Padres, Rangers, and Cubs. I think it's all a ruse, as he will fake everybody out and sign with the Yankees. I'm convinced.
I love how angry Yankees fans were at them.
Like the New York Post called him a coward.
Are they really?
Like there's no justification for why somebody wouldn't want to play for the Yankees.
Well, there isn't. I mean, I agree with that, but he's not a coward.
I love that Brian Cashman broke that story after he was like climbing the outside of a building.
He does that every year.
Racing the Grinch?
He repels.
What?
It's a fundraiser. It's like a fundraiser. He repels down a building.
He's like breaking the news to New York Yankees fans. Hey, we're not going to get this generational prospect while some
looking
at Grinch costume is behind him. It was phenomenal.
Yeah. So that was surprising for sure. But he wants to be preferably on the West Coast. He wants to train in Arizona. And he's got 5 West Coast teams plus the Rangers and the Cubs. I hope he goes to the Cubs because I think it would. I just don't want
him
to.
They already have Kyle Schwarber.
I don't want him to waste away. Like, baseball needs this. And that's why I was hoping he would go to the Yankees. Selfishly, yes, but also.
I hope he goes to the Angels.
With Trout?
Like, if you're talking about, the most marginal value that he could provide to a team, it's definitely a team like the Angels who, are a couple of elite pieces away.
I don't care about that. I just care about the impact on baseball.
What
I just want him to shine.
About the Angels is Mike Socha seems like probably the least innovative manager, at least the most traditionalist manager of all these teams.
Just because he's been managing them since the 80s?
The Dodgers and Cubs are two of the most innovative organizations in baseball. So I feel like they would come up with a good plan to maximize Otani's output and get the most out of each role that he'd be filling. But you know, from what I've seen from a few different sources, there is less skepticism within the game that he can do both of these than people outside the game like us who think, oh, he's got to go to the right situation for them to even give him a chance of doing this. No, every team wants him to do this.
But in Japan, he did not hit every day.
No,
I think he hit, twice a week or 3 times a week out of 6 games.
Right.
It was
something like that. It was, and he
I'll
only
say
pitched
it was
once
3.
A week, which is true of all starters in Japan.
Yeah.
Whoever signs Otani is going to have more or less a six-man rotation. I mean, I don't know that it'll be, you know, six guys in order every turn through, but they're not going to have to build in enough rest for him to have a chance to bat. I mean, the day after he pitches, trying to swing a bat then is probably out. Right. So that's one day right there. There's going to be a day when he throws a side session.
So he took 2 days off before pitching. So I think he hit 3 days a week, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe four if he hit the same day he pitched.
Right.
No, I think it was three. But anyway, they didn't have 7 day weeks. So let's say he hits four times a week. I don't think you're not going to want the Shohei if we decided in CBS to do the hitter and the pitcher version. You're not going to want the hitter version if he's not a full time hitter.
And even if we do, one other possibility, and it does seem like the two versions of Ohtani, a hitter Ohtani and a pitcher Ohtani, is the most likely thing that's going to happen. But you know, if we go the route that Ohtani is dual eligible and you can choose whether to get his hitting stats or his pitching stats for that week, even then, when are you going to choose the hitting stats? So it's a much more interesting, I think, real life baseball story than fantasy.
What is interesting there is, Scott, you were asking me, I think maybe earlier today, if there's like StatCast data for Japan, or maybe you were asking me yesterday. Apparently there is. There was a piece on MLB.com. They do have the TrackMan scouting video system, and his average fly ball last season on exit velocity was 94.3 miles per hour. The major league average was 91.2. His average line drive was 96.6 miles per hour. The major league average was 92.9. So he draws comps to guys like Freddie Freeman, Jock Peterson, Joey Gallo, JD Martinez, Yoenis Cespedes, Anthony Rizzo.
That's pretty good.
The issue is he strikes out quite a bit. I think he struck out like 22% of the time. The average he struck out like 26% of the time last season. The average in Japan's like 19% of the time. So, Jock Peterson could actually be a really interesting comp for his offense. But Jock Peterson playing three times a week, like you said, doesn't have much.
I mean,
power.
I don't. It sounds like even if Shohei Ohtani was just a hitter, like, pitching wasn't even something he was capable of, he would be getting, he would be a $9 million, a nine-figure type signing, if the rules allowed that, just as a hitter. So, you know, one thing to keep in mind, he's only 23 years old, and he's already established himself as one of an offensive force in Japan. Every team wants him to play both ways, and the impact that it has on the rest of the roster is going to be just as interesting as the impact of Ohtani himself.
Four-man bench.
Well, I think if he goes to an NL team, it allows your manager to pinch hit for the pitcher without burning a position player, which is a night if you know you're
or
only,
you don't
you're
have
only
to,
getting
or
Ohtani.
You don't have to carry an extra position player.
Yeah,
a lot of teams just carry a pinch hit guy.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, all right, we'll see what happens. We should know pretty soon. At the longest, it'd be like 3 weeks from now, less than that. So it looks like he's, quickly making a decision and narrowing it down, blah, 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 whatever. Yes, Shohei Ohtani, hopefully we'll know soon. Mike Minor, he signed with the Rangers for a lot of money, and last year he had a 2.55 ERA, a 1.02 whip, more than a strikeout per inning. As a reliever, are they going to try him as a starter,
yes,
though?
Yes, that is apparently why.
He should just be their closer.
That is apparently why he chose the Rangers. I saw a report that the Cubs offered him the same amount of money to be a reliever / closer, and he wants to start. He wants another chance.
And he deserves it. He was a really good starter back in 2013, went 13-9 with a 3.21 ERA, 1.09 WHIP. Really seemed like he was on an upward trajectory. I think we were drafting him among the top 20. Pitchers in fantasy that following year, had some shoulder troubles. You know, moving back to the rotation, he threw about 3 miles per hour harder on average as a reliever than he did earlier in his career as a starter. But he's also remade himself in other ways. The slider is now his primary secondary pitch as opposed to a changeup. He still used three pitches as a reliever last year. I think this is a transition that can happen,
and
provided he's...
It could be a Danny
be
Duffy
healthy.
Situation where he sustains that velocity, which we've seen.
He is now my number two SPARP. heading into next season behind Peacock, who's, you know, a distant number one.
It's just like I know that the Rangers are going to announce a closer and then he's going to suck and he's going to be gone in 2 weeks. Just make it Mike Minor and like let's just save the suspense. It happens.
Adam, there's hardly been any off season so far. But, you sure the Rangers aren't going to get another?
He'll
closer
flame out.
Possibility.
They change their closers.
Well,
every
why
year.
Are you so sure Mike Minor'd be a gem in that role?
Look what he did last year. He was terrific in
relief.
Look
at the other reliever that they're going to get, who we don't know yet.
I'm just
look what
joking.
He did last
I'm just
year.
Joking around.
It's
Mr.
not funny.
Ray. Why? Ooh, God, you really are teal today. Dallas Keuchel apparently was pitching through a foot injury in the second half. Very injury-prone man.
Weird that he decided to tell everybody that it happened during the parade, but ESPN reported right before the podcast, pitched with an undisclosed injury in his left foot during the second half of the season and throughout the postseason.
Now, how do you feel about him? That he's amazing?
I mean... What are we gonna? We're gonna keep doing this, just like every time.
Now you know he was pitching
every
hurt.
Time he's not good.
It was yes.
Oh, he's hurt.
Why is that? He's clearly one of the best pitchers in baseball. So if he's bad, he must not be right.
He needs to stop pitching hurt.
I would agree. Detroit signed Leonis Martin to a 1 year contract, and the Cardinals signed starting pitcher Miles Michaelis. I made his name.
Oh, is
weirder.
It Michaelis?
Yeah, Miles Michaelis. Ah. To a 2 year, what do you think it was? Mikolas?
Mikolas.
I liked Mikolas.
Mikolas. Yeah.
Reminded so me of like... Mikolaj from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah. 2 years, $15.5 million. And in Japan, he had a 2.18 ERA in three seasons as a starting pitcher. Last year, 2.25 ERA, a 0.98 whip. He doesn't walk anybody, doesn't strike out a lot of guys. And Miles Michaelis was really bad in 3 years in baseball in MLB, 5.32 ERA. So are the Cardinals working their Cardinal Devil magic here, or are we completely ignoring him? what are we doing?
Well, I mean, he was good in Japan, obviously. It was a lot of it was built on control. His strikeout rate was a little less than a K per nine, which you know, to me is kind of discouraging, especially that it was happening against that lower level of competition. So, you know, it's always hard to figure out exactly how these guys are going to perform when they return from a foreign league where they dominated. I mean, it's going to be worse than the numbers they put up elsewhere. I think that's fair to assume, but it was kind of my process for ranking Michaelis was basically close my eyes and turn my finger in circles and then point. And with that method, he wound up being 97th in my starting pitcher rankings, just behind CeCe Sabathia, Jason Vargas, just ahead of Reynaldo Lopez and Andrew Heaney. So, you know, I'm not ruling him out making a mixed league impact next year, but I don't think he's going to be an impact mixed league arm.
All right, Miles Michaelis, there's your name to know and how to pronounce it. So before we get into the draft, here's email of the day number two. It comes from James, who's currently residing in Florida. Good for you, James. Dear C, B, and S, you guys are BS. Happy holidays. I've heard the past few podcasts.
Clearly, Chris.
With your holiday theme. Oh, yeah. With your holiday theme fantasy baseball names, I wanted to get in on the fun. I've been watching these fantasy baseball themed holiday movies, such as How A.J. Hinch Stole Christmas, The Santana Claus, Miracle on Houston Street, The Solaire Express, A Trevor Story, Single All the Way, Glove Actually, and Ernesto Frieri Saves Christmas. As well as listening to these fantasy baseball themed holiday tunes. Otani Ye Faithful. I don't know
good
that
one.
What's that
That's
one?
Oh Come All Ye Faithful.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll Steal Home for Christmas.
Sure.
Babe If It's Cold Outside.
Yes.
JT Snow, JT Snow, JT Snow. Yes. All I Want for Christmas is Why You? And Hark the Anaheim Angels Swing.
What about I Saw Otani Kissing Santa Claus Underneath? Yeah.
I don't know.
I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
I don't know that song.
That one's
that
a little
perverted song, Chris. Wow.
It's one of the more questionable Christmas songs out there.
Well,
right?
I want to like disturb anyone, but Santa's not real. So the point of the song is
kids.
That Santa's dressed up like...
Dad is dressed up as Santa.
Well, I don't know. The
I don't know. I'm sorry to
singing it. What a laugh it would have been if Daddy had only seen that. That leads me to assume Dad is also hanging around at this party, and he just didn't happen to be looking in that moment.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of most songs about Santa Claus presume that Santa Claus is real, Chris.
So A Miracle on Houston Street was in there, yeah. Right? We're missing an obvious one.
What's that?
Jermaine Die Hard.
Jermaine Die Hard.
This is like a Hall of Fame email.
Shut up, Chris.
It's this is amazing.
Email. Yeah, it's terrific.
How the Hinch Stole Christmas? I mean, he is basically the Grinch to Dodgers fans this year, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
What, Glove Actually?
Glove Actually is good, yeah. No, these are. Did you come up with that, or are you quoting from the
was
email?
Was that in there? And I don't. We yes. don't have the email.
Single All the Way. That whole phrase is a baseball phrase.
Yeah, Glove Actually was in there, Chris, so. Ernesto Friere's team's Christmas is great. All right, let's get to the draft. Rounds 4 and beyond. I will ask you guys for the best and the worst picks. And let's get started as I scroll up. And I just want to tell you that if you own a Mac computer and you don't have a mouse, you have a terrible, terrible device. And you should throw the computer. I just hate everything about Macs.
Wow.
They suck.
Hot take.
Buster Posey is the first pick of round 4. This is 12 team points, head-to-head. One catcher, 3 outfielders, no corner infield, no middle infield, 5 starting pitchers, 2 relief pitchers, of course, first, second, third, and shortstop. All right, Buster Posey, Carlos Carrasco, Cody Bellinger, Nelson Cruz, who's DH only. But if they sign Ohtani, Cruz would theoretically pick up outfield eligibility fairly early.
Yep.
Anthony Rendon, Luis Severino, Robbie Ray, Yu Darvish, Marcell Ozuna, AJ Pollock, Rhys Hoskins, Chris Archer. All right, one more time, just so everybody can try to remember them. There's a quiz later for all you listeners. Posey, Carrasco, Bellinger, Cruz, Rendon, Severino, Ray, Darvish, Ozuna, Pollock, Rhys Hoskins, Archer. Best pick, Chris Towers.
The best pick, it can't. I think it's Luis Severino.
Okay. Yeah.
I think Scott's there pick. Is. For me, it's either that or Anthony Rendon. I just think those are two guys who, if they just do what they did last year, and it might be the best seasons of their career. Luis Severino throws hard. He's a pitcher. It's possible that he just blows up. But if those guys just do what they did last year, you're getting 2 surplus rounds of value from them.
Blows up, the way you use it could be good or bad.
Yes.
I think you meant it the bad way.
Yes.
And it's always true a pitcher could blow up. I actually think Bellinger's the best pick. And I'm being even deeper into the ranking process than I was just a week ago when we podcasted about this draft. Bellinger, I can tell you precisely where he is in my ideal draft, and it's at the 2-3 turn, much less here in round 4. I think the gap between him and Aaron Judge is so small that for a while I had Bellinger ranked ahead. I since talked myself out of it, but Springer's part of that discussion too, and to me, all 3 of those guys are borderline second, third rounders.
Just in the interest of full disclosure, you took me totally by surprise when you asked me for my pick because I was not paying attention.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, you knew what you were doing.
Well, I was trying to come up with more.
Did you come up with any?
Cody Silver Bellinger. And the Nightmare Balfour Christmas. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Chris is so bad/good at this. You know, there's another guy in this round that if he just does what he did last year would be one of the best picks in fantasy, and that's Marcell Ozuna, who went 45th sure. overall. Ozuna, we used to see him hit around 260 or so. He hit 312 last year, 37 home runs. And, you know, 312 with 37 home runs is pretty similar to what he did in the first 3 months of 2016. He hit 314 with 16 home runs, about half the season. And then he got hurt around that time, and he slumped. Is he legit? Because if he is, end of round 4 is an amazing value for Ozuna.
Well, it's hard for me to call him a... Like, I don't think there were any terrible picks this round. He's my 13th outfielder going into next year. So, I mean, to me, it's too early to take him. His output depends on a high BABIP, and he's never going to walk much. So you could see the downside.
I mean,
last
year he got to an above average walk rate for the first time in his career. The one thing I will say is he's not going to have a season as good as last year, I think, ever again. And that doesn't necessarily mean he won't play as well as he did last year. It's just he's not going to drive in 124 runs exactly. again. He's probably not going to hit 37 home runs again.
124 RBIs, unbelievable.
Yeah, and that's also with 93 runs scored. He had an outstanding season, but a lot of that was the top of the Marlins lineup was really, really good, and it's not going to be as good next year. We know that. There's a decent chance he's not in the Marlins lineup either way next year.
Stanton or Ozuna?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, and the other thing I'll say, last thing here, is that, you know, maybe it feels a little early for some people with Ozuna. Maybe it doesn't. The outfield is not that good, and the next outfielder off the board is like 12 picks later, 13 picks later. It's Yoenis Cespedes followed by Andrew Benintendi.
I don't want to well, the next that guy.
The next
one pick later.
Right. Oh, I missed one?
Well, AJ Pollock.
Oh, AJ Pollock
and Reese Hoskins right after that.
Sure.
I was thinking Hoskins as a first
baseman. Hoskins, I do rank ahead of Ozuna, but Pollock, I don't. Pollock is actually, in my mind, the worst pick in this round because I think we're kind of clinging to what's now going to be 3 years ago, him being this high-end player. It's not clear to me what anymore he's good at. He didn't hit for average last year. His stolen base pace was way down from that awesome, 2015?
Yep.
That he had, and even relative to 2015, the power numbers he provided then in that best case scenario for Pollock that we've seen to this point don't really measure up to today's landscape. It was like 20 home runs he hit that year.
20 and 39 was his 2015.
So the power doesn't measure up. He isn't running as much. The batting average, he showed he's not going to just automatically hit 300 every year. He is heading into next year my 16 outfielder.
All right.
And definitely not worth taking a round
and
for.
Certainly someone you like more in Roto than head-to-head, I think.
Yes.
All right, round five, picks 49 through 60. Jose Abreu, Carlos Martinez, Justin Turner, Dallas Keuchel, Miguel Cabrera, Wilson Contreras, Daniel Murphy, Robinson Cano, Kenley Jansen, Yoenis Cespedes, Andrew Benintendi, and Edwin Encarnacion. Here they are again. Abreu, Carlos Martinez, Justin Turner, Keuchel, Cabrera, Miguel Cabrera, Wilson Contreras, Daniel Murphy, Robinson Cano, Kenley Jansen, Yoenis Cespedes, Andrew Benintendi, Edwin Encarnacion. Scott, what's the best pick of round five?
Oh, I was hoping you want to go to me because
you're thinking of Christmas carols with baseball.
There's a lot. No. There's a lot of risk in this round, both on both sides of the aging curve. I would say.
I
like this one.
I think Daniel Murphy was the best pick, and I know I made it, so that's why it was an uncomfortable. No, I didn't pick Severino last round.
Yeah,
Chris
put it in his head.
I was stunned Murphy fell this far, and I know he did have a surgery at the start of the offseason that might impact his availability for the start of spring training. My guess is that has to be the reason everyone allowed him to fall that far.
I feel like I didn't see him in the draft room. I feel like I missed him.
Which seems weird because he was
a second, third round last
year.
Yeah,
because when he got drafted, I was like, what the hell? What was I thinking? How did I not take Daniel Murphy before?
Yeah, so second base is a middle-heavy position. Altuve, that's kind of part of the reason why he's my number two overall choice in drafts. And then you have Jose Ramirez. Daniel Murphy's my third best second baseman, and he's one of only four, Brian Dozier being the other, who I think can have an elite season. So, yeah, happy to get him in round five for sure.
Chris, what's the worst pick of round five?
In this format, it's probably Kenley Jansen. I just think it's too early in a head-to-head points league to take a reliever. In a roto league, I think Kenley Jansen there is relatively fine.
I'm a little afraid of Cespedes.
You definitely have to be.
But he does have great upside. We know that.
Yes, he has Marcelo Zuna upside.
His per-game production just this past year, though, obviously he missed a lot of time with injury, but I'm citing per-game production. It was pretty underwhelming.
I think he was playing hurt, though, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But he's playing hurt a lot, Cespedes.
Part of that time. Those hamstrings are very large. There's a lot of room for them to get hurt.
He bulked up too much. They talked about he did. Remember, didn't he come to the offseason and he was all driving his fancy cars and he got like super bulk? I think they said like, you know, they wanted a different body type from Cespedes.
You know who was better than Cespedes in 2017 and who I would rather have than him, at least in this format, in 2018?
Tommy Pham?
Jay Bruce.
Oh,
I rank ahead of Cespedes, which isn't to say Jay Bruce needs to be taken here, but I'm not anywhere close to thinking about Cespedes at this point in the draft.
Jay Bruce was taken much later, too.
Yeah, yep. He was a good pick. Round six is coming up. Here's round six, pick 61 through 72. Jonathan Scope, Jake Arrieta, D. Gordon, Joey Gallo, Aroldis Chapman, Elvis Andrews, Sonny Gray, Matt Carpenter, Andrew McCutcheon, Alex Wood, Starling Marte, and Chris Taylor. We've got Chris, I'm going to go to you here. Jonathan Scope, Jake Arrieta, D. Gordon, Joey Gallo, Aroldis Chapman, Elvis Andrews, Sonny Gray, Matt Carpenter, Andrew McCutcheon, Alex Wood, Starling Marte, and Chris Taylor. Chris, what's the best pick?
Can I pull a Scott?
Go ahead.
With you. I
think my Matt Carpenter pick, 68 overall, I really think that's the best pick of the round, especially in this format because his plate discipline is so good. He had a down year, but he walks so much. He hits for power. And I just think he's due for a bounce back. And getting him in the sixth round, I was very happy with.
Has Carlos Santana gone yet? He went in the very next round.
What's his eligibility? Only first.
Yeah,
base?
Well, that's why I was bringing it up because he, you know, we're in kind of uncharted territory here with Carpenter being first base only. Mm-hmm. Now that could change pretty early on. It just depends. I don't know. I don't think the Cardinals know exactly how they're going to employ him yet next year. But if he is only first baseman eligible, I would rather have Santana in that scenario.
That's fair.
I'd rather have Hosmer, I think, in that scenario. So,
but Carpenter, I mean, so good. He was so good. What happened last year?
I mean, the big thing, honestly, his BABIP fell 30 points. That's kind of the main thing, because if you look at his batted ball data, hard hit rate was basically identical. It was actually slightly up. He hit a few more fly balls. That can cut into your BABIP for sure. Hit fewer line drives, so there's some concern there, but if he had a 300 BABIP last season, he hits 270, and I don't think anybody's disappointed in him.
At the same time, we made excuses for him at the end of 2016 because he had the oblique injury,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was because he was great before that, and I thought like MVP caliber good,
right?
I
but
I don't, and I thought it was just the injury; it must just be the injury.
But, I mean,
I just need him to be 2016 good overall. I don't need him to be 2016 pre-oblique injury. I just need him to be 270. 890 OPS, and all of a sudden, that's a steal in the sixth round.
The same thing that happened to Miguel Cabrera last year happened to Carpenter, where the batted ball data looks great, but mm-hmm. for some reason, he just didn't. It didn't measure up. Now Cabrera was fighting through some injuries. Maybe Carpenter was too, and maybe he will continue to at his age.
He's 32, yeah.
There's obviously some chance he bounces back in a significant way.
What's the worst pick? I know where you're going with, Scott.
This was a horrible round. I think this is when people's, you know, incomplete rankings at this stage of the offseason really began to show, because I could go a bunch of different directions here. Don't love Alex Wood. Don't love Chris Taylor.
You're going Gallo, though.
But, yeah, Joey Gallo, early round six in a points league with all his strikeouts. There is no justification for it. I mean, in this format, I rank Josh Bell higher, Justin Bour, Matt Olson, Will Myers, Ryan Zimmerman, Justin Smoke. Like, I don't think Joey Gallo's worthless or anything in this format. Obviously, he hits a ton of home runs, and he made some adjustments in the second half last year, not selling out so much for home runs, that allowed him to hit like 230 in the second half, which is a big win for Joey Gallo, hitting 230. He does that over a full season, and, you know, he might be worth like a 10th or 11th round pick in this format. But round six, no way.
Let's look at the pitchers in this round. I took Arrieta, and then Alex Wood went. Sonny Gray went. I also didn't really like that pick. And then Alex Wood went. And then there's actually a guy who goes with the next pick, the first pick of round seven, Masahiro Tanaka. I might like better than even Arrieta.
I like the pitchers in the next round more than I like them in this round.
Yeah. All right, so then let's go on to the next round. It's Tanaka, Kimbrel, David Price, Paxton, Nola, Carlos Santana, Tommy Pham, Justin Upton, Zach Godley, Jose Quintana, Mike Moustakas, and Garrett Cole. A lot of pitchers coming off the board. So, again, here's round seven. Tanaka, Kimbrel, Price, Paxton, Nola, Carlos Santana, Pham, Upton, Zach Godley, Jose Quintana, Mike Moustakas, and Garrett Cole. All right, before we get to the best pick and the worst pick, all right, what's your overall thought, Chris, on the pitchers here?
What I prefer about the pitchers taken in this round to the previous round is I just think the guys in this round, there are pitchers with ace upside in this round, specifically James Paxton and Aaron Nola, who haven't reached it mostly because of injuries. I might prefer them to all three of the guys taken in the previous round. Just because I'm going to be chasing upside, and
yeah, I don't think
Jake Arrieta has the upside at this point, especially not in this format. He's not going to pitch a ton of innings at this point in his career, I don't think. I mean, we'll see if he goes to a different team, but he just wasn't very efficient last year, and that's never been that hasn't been a calling card for him in a couple of years.
I think you're selling Sonny Gray a little short when you say you'd take all of these pitchers over the ones in the previous round. I mean, Sonny Gray.
He's really interesting to me.
Revolutionized himself. I don't know. He completely transformed himself. That's probably a better word. Last year, swinging strike rate was far and away the best of his career and one of the best in all of baseball. And yet he was still an extreme ground ball pitcher. Great combination, ace combination. And to me, the durability, he gets a lot of points for that over somebody like Paxton.
But
who,
he doesn't go deep into
you're
games, right?
You're crossing your fingers. Gray?
Yeah, I think he was like six innings every time out. It was extremely frustrating.
Well,
I'll go ahead and look. You want to finish?
Yeah,
your point.
I mean, he at least has a couple 200 inning seasons in his past. Paxton, right. You're just crossing your fingers. He gives you 160, which is what Gray did last year.
That's the guy that could jump in that top three Cy Young conversation, though. Paxton, like
if he can ever clear that hurdle with the durability. I think he's deep enough into his career that it's reasonable to wonder if he ever will.
Fair. Okay, so Scott, what's the best pick of round seven?
The best pick of round seven, I like a lot of the pitchers.
Wait, you know what? Time out. Okay. Why don't you like Alex Wood in round six, end of round six?
Did you see what he did in the second half?
It seemed like he regressed.
Yes, he did, and he lost velocity. Yep. His stuff wasn't as effective, and he has durability issues on top of it. So Alex Wood is only my number 30 pitcher going into next year, and you know there are some that are even going to go in round 8 or round 9 that I have ahead of Alex Wood.
All right, so then let's go to the round 7 then. Tanaka, Kimbrel, Price, Paxton, Nola, Santana, Pham, Upton, Godley, Quintana, Moustakas, Cole. Now that you've had some time to think about it, what's the best? Ooh, I like that face. He hates round seven.
No, I don't hate round seven. There's a lot.
You just don't want to say Tommy Pham.
I don't want to say Tommy Pham.
You don't want to say your pick.
I don't want to say Tommy Pham.
Tommy Pham is a really good pick.
But I don't think Tommy Pham's the best pick here, and I'll tell you why.
Tell
because
me why.
Because Scott picked him, first of all, and screw that guy. And second of all, as good as he was last year, we're going off a 3.5-4 month sample size, basically. Now there are reasons for that. He seems to have figured out the vision issues that he's had in the past. But if those crop up again, we're looking at a guy who
is going to the minors,
or is just a bench guy who can't play every day. We've seen him for a while. This is a guy who's what, 3-4 years into his career.
Yeah. Good play discipline, good power, good speed.
If he
averaged more head-to-head points per game last year than Cody Bellinger and Marcell Ozuna.
There's no question. It's just we've seen the type of player. There are I did this for my bust column last year. I kind of tried to find archetypes of players who bust, young guys who don't have a track record, older guys who we just ignore warning signs for, and one of them is just guys who just come out of nowhere. That doesn't mean they all bust, but there are guys, and I think we all agree that like Whit Merrifield will be one of these guys, or Chris Taylor.
He's more out of nowhere than Pham, though. I mean, Pham had a lot of injuries that set him back. He had the vision issue that set him back, but you can go back years and see prospect evaluators comparing him to Eric Davis. I mean, it wasn't a total shock that he finally put it together. Maybe a shock that he got the chance to put it together.
But the track record was out of nowhere.
Okay.
Yeah,
fair enough.
All right.
It was the last outfielder before the big drop off there. The last potentially great outfielder was Pham. And you know I like to draft players before a big drop off.
Sure. Who's the best player then, Chris? All we know that is that it's not Tommy Pham.
It's Aaron Nola. No.
tough guy.
I don't know who the best pick in this round is. Carlos Santana might be, just because it's good value for him. He's probably underrated.
Yeah, good luck. You just don't draft Carlos Santana. Just buy low in June.
Sure.
But you sell trade Salvador Perez for Carlos Santana around June, and you'll be in good shape.
Yeah, this is a round that I think it's fine. There's not any picks that I love.
So then, I was glad to see Zach Godley go here, because I felt like I was on Godley Island and I could wait another round to draft him. But Lord Michaels swooped in and took
guy.
Him from me.
That's another guy. All the signs point in the right direction, but came out of nowhere.
All right, so
let's just hope they're not a Ledmus Diaz, you know?
If we weren't sure who we love there, let me tell you something I love. And Scott can tell you himself, because I would tell Scott to get his wife some flowers from proflowers.com, but he already did. Isn't that right, Scott?
Your wife did, and she loved them. It was I think it was a dozen roses, red and white, so kind of like a Christmas theme going on there. Goes great with our decor right now.
Nice.
And she's been we're about a week into that, and they're still going strong. She's,
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Pro Flowers, they're guaranteed to stay fresh. And you control the delivery date, so it can make it very convenient for you, and I really recommend it. So here's what to do. You go to proflowers.com and take a look on there. They got so many options, and it's a really beautiful thing that you can send to somebody for the holidays. Their best-selling candy cane roses, which are probably what Scott got, you can get them right now for December, for a birthday, for an anniversary, or obviously for the holidays. 20% off any Pro Flowers bouquet or plant of $29 or more if you go to proflowers.com and you use the code ANS, Adam, Nancy, Scott, ANS. That's the promo code on proflowers.com. Again, guaranteed to stay fresh. They are really nice. My wife loved them. All of our wives have gotten Pro Flowers from us, and all of them have been very happy with the results. So, again, go to proflowers.com and use the promo code ANS, Adam, Nancy, Scott, ANS. 20% off all bouquets of $29 or more this holiday season. Proflowers.com, and the code is ANS.
Adam.
Yeah.
Can I?
Yes, Nancy.
I got
yes,
two
Nancy.
More.
Go ahead.
Jingle All the Wainwright.
Yes.
That's good.
And the Matt Holiday.
The Matt Holiday?
Yeah, the Holiday.
What's the Holiday?
Never seen the Holiday?
Clive Owen, Jack Black, Kate Winslet. It's a good movie.
Christmas theme chick flick. Right.
Is it a Christmas movie, or is it just Christmas themed like Die Hard?
It takes place during Christmas.
I think all three of us in this room don't think Die Hard's a Christmas movie.
I do.
You do? All right. That's why you're Nancy.
Do you think Gremlins is a Christmas movie?
I get asked it all the time. I have no recollection. I haven't seen Gremlins since I was a kid.
I didn't see Gremlins as a kid, but I saw it about four or five years ago. Could totally happen any time of year. It could be a kid's birthday present instead of Christmas present. It would be the same story.
Is it a good movie?
No. I didn't love it. It was a little slow.
Interesting.
Yeah, for what should have been fast-paced, it was not.
All right. So let's go. I think we go back to the draft now. I got my Christmas tree up. You got to get your Christmas tree up yet?
Yes.
All decorated?
Yeah.
I don't know if we're doing a Christmas tree this year. We might get a small one for the table.
Okay, I would get a Christmas tree.
It's just, look, we were talking about it before the show. We have cats.
Oh, and my cat threw up on the tree skirt.
Yeah, my cat likes to destroy ornaments, and at least she doesn't sleep in the tree, because that would be a problem.
Oh, that would be weird. All right, round eight. Round eight. We'll have to go faster, guys. I knew we weren't going to get to every round, but Christian Yelich, Salvador Perez, Domingo Santana, Kyle Hendricks, Eric Hosmer, John Lester, Whit Merrifield, Xander Bogaerts, Jake Lamb, Jay Bruce, Ryan Braun, and Marcus Stroman. Yelich, Perez, Salvador Perez, Domingo Santana, Kyle Hendricks, Hosmer, Lester, Merrifield, Bogaerts, Lamb, Bruce, Ryan Braun, and Marcus Stroman. Who wants best? Any volunteers?
Marcus Stroman.
All right. Last pick of the round, 96th overall. I love what Al Melchior has done with his last two picks, 24 picks apart. Masahiro Tanaka and Marcus Stroman.
Marcus Stroman, you talk about a guy who goes 6-7 innings every time out, 200 innings 2 years in a row. I just the only injury track record he has is the knee injury, which isn't really a big concern. Doesn't necessarily have the huge ace upside because he doesn't get the strikeouts, but he was 3.09 ERA last year. Hopefully could win more than 13 games, but that's always a crapshoot. But in this format, 200 innings 2 years in a row, that's rare.
What about the order of pitchers in this round? How would you guys rank them? Hendricks, Lester, Stroman.
Lester, Stroman, Hendricks.
Yes.
That's how I rank them. And Hendricks is fairly distant third for me.
So he's one of the bad picks.
He is one of the bad picks. And my eyes didn't immediately go to him.
They went to Domingo Santana, didn't they?
Well, immediately they did go to Domingo Santana. And I do think Yelich, who is my number... in this format, Yelich is 14th
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, that's a pretty good pick, 85th overall.
And Domingo Santana is 34th for me. But, I mean, I get the Domingo Santana hype. He was one of the best hitters in terms of hard contact rate on FanGraphs and line drive rate, and that's how you overcome a high strikeout rate and produce a high BABIP. And the power, you know, you don't really doubt the power. There's just a few outfielders who would have taken ahead of Santana. The pick that I think is just plain bad is Jake Lamb. Because
yeah, and you know what? We have Polanco like six picks after Lamb into round nine, and they both are so bad against lefties that I wonder...
This is two years in a row now. Lamb's completely tanked in the second half after a hot start.
But the overall numbers are good, though.
Yeah, in terms of points per game, Jake Lamb was better than Mike Moustakas and Alex Bregman. But the problem is, if he continues to struggle against lefties to the degree he has,
so bad.
And it even happened down the stretch last season. He was sitting against left-handed pitchers, and that's... You can't really measure a player by points per game if he's sitting, you know, once or twice a week with that frequency. We may already be to the point where Lamb's a platoon player. So to me, he's not a top 12 third baseman in this format, and I don't think I'd go there even in a categories league.
Scott, I got to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
You were crowing, throwing a parade, talking about how you're the smartest person in America because you took 29-year-old Tommy Pham in the seventh round, and then you're going to turn around and poo-poo 25-year-old Tommy Pham in the eighth round?
Oh, you're talking about Santana?
Yeah, I mean, he strikes out more, sure. But the walk rate, not dissimilar. The ability to hit for power and steal bases, also there. Domingo Santana, better, stronger pedigree than Tommy Pham. This guy, back in his Houston days, was a legitimate prospect.
Nobody was calling him Eric Davis.
I don't... who were these people maybe nine years ago people were calling Tommy Pham?
John Sickles,
like, Tommy
I saw
Pham,
from him specifically.
Tommy Pham is going to turn 30, soon.
He is.
And,
but,
as someone who's about to turn 30,
look,
that basically
Santana
means you're dead.
Didn't come close to matching Pham's production last year. It was a... So Pham was...
The only difference is strikeouts, though.
Is that the only difference?
I think
stolen bases, are they really that close?
8, 10? Like, there's a 10 stolen base difference, but Domingo Santana hit 7 more home runs.
Pham was 3.63 points per game last year. Domingo Santana was 3.01. And I think Santana is a fine upside pick in the middle rounds, but I don't think we're to the point yet where you need to be targeting him.
I think they both carry similar amounts of risk and upside. I don't know if anybody specifically said that Domingo Santana was the next Eric Davis, but I'm old enough to remember when Cameron Maben was the next Eric Davis. So I don't know how much to put in that, but this was a legitimate prospect in Houston who just never really got the opportunity consistently to play. I'm not saying I love the Domingo Santana pick, but it's more there is upside there.
All right, let's go to round nine. Picks 97 through 108 in this 12-team league. Matt Olson. Here's just something incredible about Matt Olson. In his final 13 games, Matt Olson had 10 hits. 8 of them were home runs. That's never seen anything like that before. So Matt Olson is first pick of round nine. Johnny Cueto, Gregory Polanco, Luis Castillo. Oh, are you seeing this, guys? four what? Picks in a row whose names end with O. So Olsen, then Cueto, Polanco, Castillo, Sano.
Wow.
Canabalo, Duffy, McCullers, Brandon Belt, Seager,
Kyle Seager,
Brad Peacock, first Sparp, and Didi Gregorius. Matt Olson, Johnny Cueto, Gregory Polanco, Luis Castillo, Miguel Sano, Corey Knebel, Denny Duffy, Lance McCullers, Brandon Belt, Kyle Seager, Brad Peacock, Didi Gregorius.
I just can't make sense of the Gregory Polanco pick.
Yeah, even I can't.
I know there is theoretical upside, and maybe the light switch comes on.
I don't think it's theoretical. I mean, I think he showed it. I think he showed it in 2016.
He showed
he
it for
hurt.
Like 2 months.
Yeah, he did. It's a lot. I was fooled.
But, you know, it's kind of a poor man's Christian Yelich profile, but not discounting it enough.
Can you be this bad? It's really something to keep in mind. Can you be this bad against lefties? Now, he wasn't bad against lefties. He wasn't good against lefties, but he was respectable against lefties in 2016, Polanco. He batted 245. He slugged 469. It's actually not bad at all. But 2017, he had 231, and he slugged 308.
591 OPS for his career against lefties seems like the more relevant than the 2016.
Yeah.
Although,
so I don't know that you can be that bad against lefties and be good. It's tough.
But he was hurt right at the beginning of the year, right? Last year? Wasn't he dealing with something like in spring training?
The problem is he's just not hitting the ball hard enough, and it's been getting worse every year when you'd expect it, a player with his age and pedigree, you'd expect it to get better. I mean, his hard contact rate, according on Fangraphs, got to be one of the lowest among all hitters, 25.9 hard contact rate.
But he's not even the worst pick of the round.
Yeah.
Brandon Belt is the worst pick of the round. And I don't know. I'm gonna.
What are the chances? No, he's locked in for a while. Yeah. What are the chances Brandon Belt gets to play in literally any other park in baseball?
Yeah, Brandon Belt.
Brandon Belt gets to pick
at first base in the ninth round. He's a waiver wire guy.
There are a lot of first basemen I'd rather have than Belt, but Belt averaged 301 in this format last year, and Polanco averaged 219. I mean, it's not even close.
But at least Polanco has last upside in my opinion.
No, well, I mean 301's not a bad. Now he missed a lot of time. Belt did with the concussion.
You know you're not drafting. You know you're not drafting Brandon Belt.
I'm not.
21 rounds
are
not drafting.
Neither are
him.
Good picks. I'm just saying. I don't know that I can objectively say Belt's the worst pick here of the two.
Okay. I mean that's fair. I just wanted to be dramatic. I do think it's worse.
Okay.
But it's not a slam dunk. What's the best pick of this round?
Well, I mean, Luis Castillo, I like a lot. I actually rank one spot ahead of Brad Peacock, but considering you got Brad Peacock at him at the end of the round.
Oh, finally I get some due here.
When Castillo went at the beginning of the round, and the format, the fact that Peacock's relief pitcher eligibility is going to, you know, it's actually valuable in this format. It's being able to start him instead of a closer where, you know, if Peacock is as good as he was last year, that's going to mean big points every week.
I think it was a great pick. Though.
It is a big if.
It's another one. Just
yeah, oh, it is.
Big if.
Never done it before.
But once you've reached 100 picks, you know, there aren't that many short
and
things.
And Luis Castillo is someone that last season kind of came out of nowhere. You know, the Marlins traded him for Dan Straley, and he was considered, you know, not exactly a great prospect in the Marlins system, which is like, I'm the 37th best prospect in the Marlins system right now.
By the way, there's a Sporting News article that came out this morning. Derek Jeter's short time as Marlins exec has eroded his baseball reputation. So I will be bookmarking that to read soon. All right, so
people gift baskets.
This is a pretty risky round here. What do you think about Matt Olson, 97th overall?
I don't mind it. There are a few first basemen I have ranked ahead of him, but it's kind of like legacy rankings, I guess. It's guys like Ryan Zimmerman and Will Myers who weren't definitively better than Matt Olson last year. They've just kind of earned more cred than Olson has to this point. I mean, Olson as a power hitter, there's a lot to get excited about there.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of home runs for him. All right, and then we'll finish. We'll do one more round and then read some emails. Round 10, Nick Castellanos. I will never. There are two things I won't do as a fantasy host/sort of analyst. I will never call Benjamin Watson. I will always call him Ben. I will never call him Benjamin. And I will never call Castellanos Nicholas. He will always be Nick.
Nicholas.
I just refuse. Nick Castellanos, Luke Weaver, Cody Allen, DJ LeMahieu, Michael Fulmer, Travis Shaw, Trevor Story, Danny Salazar, Greg Bird, Taiwan Walker, Jose Barrios, and Marwin Gonzalez. So it's getting interesting here. Castellanos, Luke Weaver, Cody Allen, DJ LeMahieu, Michael Fulmer, Travis Shaw, Trevor Story, Danny Salazar, Greg Bird, Taiwan Walker, Jose Barrios, and Marwin Gonzalez.
Can I start with the worst one?
Let me think if I can see. Let me see if I can guess who you're going
to
pick.
It caused me to comment in the message or in the chat room as we were drafting, which, you know, I don't like to call out people's picks. These are all experts.
Like, it's got to be.
I know which one.
It's got to be.
You guys
Marwin
can probably
Gonzalez.
Guess which
no,
one.
No, Fulmer. It's got to be Michael Fulmer.
I actually like Marwin more than Chris Taylor, who went a few rounds earlier.
You guys can probably guess which one I'm picking.
For worst?
Yeah.
Salazar?
Greg Bird.
You're wrong. You are wrong. You need to get on it right now, Scott. Get on the Greg Bird train.
At the height of Bird Mania last spring, he was not going in round 10.
I like him better, much better than Brandon Belt.
If we take what, and I hope I have the stat here since I started saying it. Okay, yeah, if we just take August 26th on, good Bird last year. Bird back from all his leg issues and you know, hit a bunch of home runs to end the season. Just August 26th on. He was only 303 fantasy points per game, 3.03 when Brandon Belt was 3.01, like I said. I mean, 303 is less than Justin Smoke. It's less than Justin
He's
got
to be better. He's
it's less
be
better. Than Marwin Gonzalez.
Well, what was he in 2015?
Probably, like,
not that much.
Probably, like, pretty good, but not Matt Olson good.
No, not Matt Olson good. I mean, think he's going to have a big year.
He might have a big year in the relative sense, but I
no,
don't
like
think
like a legit big year. Like, he's a breakout.
All right, but here's the thing. You're paying for upside. You're not at 117. The downside risk is what it is, but you're not factoring in downside there.
I don't think there's all that much downside because he walks so much.
I don't know. With Ryan Zimmerman still on the board.
He has a .316 career on base percentage in 94 games. He hasn't walked
batting average?
He hasn't walked that much.
He struck out a ton.
He's got 38 walks in 94 games.
I don't think it's crystal clear still he's going to play every day.
I disagree.
I think there's no chance they bring in, you know, Tyler Austin or whatever steals at bats from him against lefties.
Well, it's a new manager. All I know is Joe Girardi said a lot. Greg Bird hits lefties. We don't take him out of the lineup against lefties.
It would have been nice if Joe Girardi had stuck around there.
Yes.
Instead, you got the wild card, Aaron Boone.
I think he feels a little bit like Didi Gregorius to me, where people just really seem to think that Greg Bird is a lot better than his numbers, and they've said he was the best prospect in their system at one point. So it's now or never. Like, it's now or never for Bird.
Well,
it's this year.
It doesn't have to be round 9. That doesn't have to be the now.
We're in round 10, and that was like the end of round
Greg
10.
Greg Bird is a sleeper in round 19. Fine,
so 117th.
I can get on board with that. Round 9, you're
right.
Still building
they
the foundation.
They stop saying round 9.
Team.
It's round 10.
Round 10, I'm sorry.
But you're
whatever.
Still, like,
it is a little
he was still taken ahead of Yoan Moncada, who, if we're talking about a prospect,
yeah, all right, that's
Yoan Moncada was a much better prospect. He went ahead of.
And where did Moncada go? Moncada also had a very strong finish to the season. He went round
like
11.
Six picks later.
Yeah, all right. No, that's totally fair.
My pick, Taiwan Walker.
Worst pick?
He's not good.
So who's the best pick of this round? I'm just going to go ahead and say I think it was Scott's pick, Travis Shaw.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's completely overlooking Shaw, although he did,
you know, this
slump pretty badly at the end.
He did. And that's kind of why I rank one of the reasons why I rank Moustakas ahead of him. But he was still Shaw was 3.31 fantasy points per game last year, and
it was just
a moment. Like, this was the part of the draft where the remaining infielders were so much more interesting than outfielders. So a guy like Shaw fell probably two rounds further than he should have. I drafted him a third baseman to fill my utility spot, which is not traditionally how you use a utility spot, but it was just like.
And here's the thing. Travis Shaw's another one of those guys that if he just does what he did last year, he's a good value at this spot.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Mike Nicholas Castellanos, who I really like, went ahead of him. And you're hoping that Castellanos has 2016 Travis Shaw's season.
This was a terrible round. Castellanos,
I like the pitching here.
Weaver, Cody Allen, Mayhew.
I really like the starting pitching in this
round. Fulmer, Danny Salazar, but you hate Taiwan Walker. And Berríos?
That's the one I don't like is Taiwan Walker.
You
but
like the pitching here? Oh,
Berríos, Salazar, Fulmer, and Weaver. I like the upside with that group.
Okay.
I think any one of those guys could make a, I don't want to say a Luis Severino jump, but a big jump into the top 20.
Who's your favorite?
Danny Salazar, the guy I picked.
You like him better than Weaver, the guy I picked?
Well, I mean.
Scott, I know you like Weaver better.
I do like Weaver better, yes.
But you hate Danny Salazar.
Look, Danny Salazar probably has more upside than Luke Weaver, but I just don't think that's all you can measure, particularly when you're still this is probably what people are drafting their number three starters
my number three.
Yeah, that's too big of a risk for me with my number three starter.
I think that was my number five.
I mean,
but I had Peacock, so it might be my number four.
I have Weaver 41 and Salazar 56 to put it in those terms.
Then let's put it in these terms, email terms, whatever that means. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. King of the segue. This is from Clay. Our league has winter meetings coming up this weekend. I think that's very funny, by the way. And one of the topics up for discussion is expanding the league from 10 to 12 teams. What do we do about keepers? 10 teams right now are keeping 13. Do we redraft, or do we protect 9 or 10 players and the two expansion teams draft from the unprotected players?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of the way expansion drafts work.
Okay.
It's been a long time since we've had one. 97, I think, when the Rays and Diamondbacks were getting ready to join the league.
But if they do this and everybody gets to keep 10, and then their next three are available, does that mean that the expansion teams are going to be terrible? They're not going to have any stars?
But that's how it works. The Tampa Bay Rays were pretty bad.
Can we at least give them the first pick in the draft?
They can go out and sign Wade Boggs.
Okay. This is from Rosenda. Rosenda. I have the fifth pick, and should I pick up Stanton or Trout if available, or should I go with an ace pitcher? I won my league with pitching. So I'm just going to say, if Trout is there, he won't be, but if he is, that's the obvious pick. Mm. But at fifth overall, do you guys consider an ace?
I don't know exactly the scoring format. Standard CBS scoring in a points league. I do not rank any pitcher ahead of Stanton. So I would go Stanton. And really, the pitchers who are head and shoulders above the rest, Kershaw, Scherzer, Kluber, and Sale, I mean, none of them are, if you're thinking from a keeper scenario, none of them have they're all getting up there in age.
It's not a keeper league.
Okay, never mind.
But the other problem is, if you have the fifth pick, I'm not sure any of them are going to be around for your second pick. It's going to be close.
Yeah, and that this is the spot that I'm in with those ace pitchers. If I want to grab one of those four, I kind of want to grab the last one.
Yeah,
rather
but you might
than
not
first
have a
one.
Choice.
Right, but yep. I'm just saying in general, and I don't know if the logic there makes sense. It's just kind of like, I would rather be left with one of them than have to pick one of the four just because they're so close.
I agree with that. I think Kershaw, just because of his durability issues, the gap between him and the other three is much smaller than in years past.
It's like Greg Oden, Kevin Durant. I don't want the first. I want
just
the second pick.
I'll take the leftovers.
Yeah, I'll take the Durant guy.
Look, you can have Hakeem and Michael Jordan.
If you're one of the first six picks in a 12-team league, if you're picking in the first half of that first round, which would mean the back half of the second round, you either have to reach for Kershaw early in round one or
pray
just,
that Kluber falls.
Or just assume you're not going to get one of those four.
Yeah, like and it's a tough choice to make, but we would probably go with the hitter route.
Yep.
This is from TJ. Hey, Adam, and one of Scott, Heath, or Chris. Crete, Heathcrot. He's trying to come up with a combination.
That sounds like a Sherlock Holmes name.
Heathcrot. Yeah, I don't know. Wowings also could work. Whowings. That could work. Wowings. Head-to-head categories league. Eight.
It doesn't work.
Chris is shaking his head.
White Towers Cummings.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's just, no.
Okay, am I stupid here? Oh, holds. Holds.
Loaded question.
All right, I play in a head-to-head categories league with holds. I can keep 15 players for as long as I want. So he's given us who he's keeping, but he wants to know five of these, and he'd like to keep at least two closers.
Okay.
So the closers are Ken Giles, Roberto Osuna, Knebel, and Devenski, or the relievers. The batters are Pollock, Polanco, Acuna, Pham, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Ian Happ, Willie Calhoun, Matt Olson. And the starting pitchers are Paxton, Rodon, and Snell. I sent you the notes.
Oh, this is actually in the notes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of the emails you sent earlier wasn't in the notes.
Yes. All right, here's one thing that I will say. He's got Will Myers listed on the planning to definitely keep. Take Will Myers out of there. You're definitely not planning to keep Will Myers. He's fine, but there are probably six better players I would rather
then
keep.
Let's get six better players. Let's get two closers for him.
Knebel and Ozuna.
I'm going to say Ozuna. I rank Giles ahead for next year, but Ozuna seems less combustible.
Let's throw James Paxton in there.
I agree.
I don't think I can go with Rodon or Snell. There are just too many question marks, but if you want to, I think they both have plenty of upside.
Tommy Pham. That's four. We need two
Ronald
more.
Acuna, for sure.
Five.
And the question is, would you rather have someone who's established but older, A.J. Pollock, established but not very good, but maybe he will be, Gregory Polanco, established sort of but doesn't have as much upside as a prospect, which is Matt Olson, or Vladimir Guerrero, who could be one of the best players of his generation?
Acuna is the best prospect in baseball right now. Guerrero might be the second best.
Yeah.
So I think I personally would go Guerrero as my last keeper there over Olson.
But there's
Pollock.
A pretty good chance he doesn't help you that much this year.
I can live with that.
All right, let's finish up, guys. From Greg, I have a chance to trade Chris Archer or Robbie Ray for Christian Yelich. What makes the most sense in a keeper league?
I think it just depends on what you need. If you really want Yelich, I think I'd probably rather. Is it crazy to say I'd rather have Ray than Archer at this point?
It's not crazy. And I think I rank Ray ahead for next year, but, I mean, Archer's cleared that innings threshold that
It's an upside versus safety
thing. It's hard to
assume
for any pitcher at this stage. So I think long-term perspective, I'd rather have Archer than Ray. I think I'd rather have the two pitchers than Yelich, though.
I was thinking that, too.
Yeah, Yelich might be a little easier to replace.
That's it for today's show. Thank you, everybody. Well, we got through 10 rounds now. I think we'll maybe just talk about good late-round picks or something next week. But everybody, enjoy the week. We will talk to you next Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Monday or Friday. But we'll do it sometime next week. Definitely one of those weekdays. And we'll talk to you then. For Scott and Chris, I'm Adam. And we are out of here.